What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth with members of the Florida State University Demonstration School community. Joining me on this program is Nicholas Leon. Nicholas has been at Florida High for 9 years. He's in the 9th grade, and he's into music and science.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Samantha Davis. Samantha has been attending Florida High for 4 years. She is a senior, and she enjoys art and English.
Nice to meet you.
Glad to have you. Amaya Mann has been at Florida High 6 years. She is a senior, and she's into English, history, and music. Dr. Lynn Wicker is the director of Florida High, Florida State University School. She's been there 6 years, too.
Hi, great to be here.
Ashley Myers has been there 4 years, and she is an AP psychology teacher and the SGA advisor.
Nice to be with you all.
Well, thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. This hour, 411 Teen, is showcasing Florida High. Dr. Wicker, will you please share with us some of the history about the school, how it evolved, when it was founded, that kind of thing?
Sure, be happy to. The school goes way back in connection with Florida State University, all the way to 1857. It was first founded as the Florida Institute, part of the Florida Department of Education, and it's kind of evolved over time. Some high school grades were added. It started with lower grades and then evolved all the way up to 12th grade. And then it became a demonstration school back in 1924, and that meant that we were using it for teacher education from the College of Ed, or as you know, Florida State was a teaching college. And then moving on through, some people may remember it being on the corner of Call Street, where Florida State's medical school currently is. And it was built there, located there in 1955, and so was there for a very long time. And then back in 2000, so about 14 years ago, it was relocated in its current location in South Tallahassee in Southwood.
Okay. Wow. How many students are there? And let's talk about the school itself. I know it goes from K through 12, right?
Right. Kindergarten through 12th grade. And out of all of that, we have 1,700 students. Okay. And we stay full of capacity all the time. We have an admissions system that's computerized now. It used to just be lists. And so now we have an automated computerized selection system to keep our demographics what they need to be for the research that goes on at the school.
Well, I'm going to get into admissions shortly, but I want to talk to these students here and just find out, what was the appeal? Well, Nicholas, you sound like you didn't have any choice. You've been there from kindergarten. And I know that traditionally is the case. I know individuals who attended and graduated from Florida High. And most of them, you know, started in kindergarten and they went all the way through 12th grade. But you all, the two of you, have not been there that long. What was the appeal for you to come? What was it that made you want to go to Florida High?
Honestly, my mom began working there. I really didn't want to go because I wanted to go on to the high school where all my middle school friends went to. But I went there because I really didn't have a choice. It was just more convenient for my family.
Okay. So.
I went because I wanted to get a better education than what I could be qualified for. I don't live in Leon County. I live in Gadsden County.
Okay.
And the only two high schools, well, there are more than two, but the choices that I have aren't they aren't what my mom and my dad wanted me to have. So they signed me up. I took the test, and then I got in. So pretty much it was a thing that I wanted as well as my family wanted. It was just – it was a better opportunity for me to continue on excelling at the rate that I was excelling.
And, Nicholas, how do you find Polly the High? You speak with a lot of experience.
I really enjoy the school. The biggest draw for us was the Southwood community, as we lived on the outskirts of town, more up north. We had been looking to move, and the Southwood community was great, and we knew that the school was pretty new there. And my parents thought it would be a very good opportunity for me, and I've enjoyed it and loved it ever since.
That's great. What is the process? I heard you mention you took a test, Maya.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, is that the process? What is the process? For those who are interested, those who are listening, and they might want to know more about how they become involved and how they can be admitted, can you share with us what is the process?
Sure. Everything's online now. So we have an admissions link at our website, which is FSUS, easy to find. And you go there, and there's an application online that you fill out. And it's only open certain times of the year, so people need to be aware of that.
Do you know what those times are? Can you share them? Or just kind of give us an idea of what they would be?
Right. Generally, the selections are done in the springtime for the next school year. So it's prior to that. So
if anyone heard the program and they want, is it too late or is this the time that they should be exploring that? I mean, where does that stand?
Right. At this point in time, the portal has closed for next school year. But the good news is that once you're in the system in the application pool, we do selections all the time. So even when we select for the next school year over the summer, when we have openings and vacancies and people leave, we have to fill those seats. So we always encourage people to just keep track of those dates and go in. But the computer system, that the software that's used, developed specifically for us, goes in and selects students based on demographic need, so that our population is kept as close to possible 50-50 for gender, and then socioeconomic status, to closely meet the state and region average. So there is a great deal that goes into that selection process. Once students are in, we don't give tests anymore except to incoming kindergartners. So the academic test scores, we now have a lot of data that parents provide to us in the application process from their standardized tests that they've already taken.
Now, what tests do they have to take in the admission process?
Well, our kindergartners just take a readiness-type test. So it's basically just to make sure that, of course, by age, they're going to be ready for kindergarten. We just want to make sure that developmentally and all other areas that they're ready to really get the best start.
Okay. But you weren't in kindergarten.
I wasn't. No. I was in sixth grade when I came here.
So what does she take? Right. I'm just trying to get an idea of what they're taking.
Right. Probably when Amaya started, they were still testing, and they still may do some screening in sixth grade. But it's really not so much an academic determination as to whether or not you're there. So in other words, we have a broad spectrum of academic ranges of students. You don't have to, you know, qualify at a certain GPA or something like that to get in.
Now, what about the special needs child? Can you accommodate them? Or what special needs can you accommodate?
Right. That's a great question, because as a developmental research school, we do not have the capability to offer all special education programs. So the ones that we do offer are students that have speech, that need speech therapy, whatever their individual plan dictates, and students with learning disabilities. And also we have a gifted program. So we encourage parents, they're asked about those questions on their application to make sure that if they do have needs that we cannot meet, that they know that up front.
Okay. Now, is there any cost involved?
There is an activity fee, which is very small, really, around $300. It varies from elementary to secondary. And that's it. There's no tuition. It's an activity fee that covers a lot of different things. So we don't ask parents to pay for field trips or their yearbook or those kinds of things. And it also goes to support a lot of our athletic programs because we offer almost every athletic program that there is in the local county districts, both for middle school, JV, and varsity.
Oh, we'll have to explore that. I know that's a big appeal. For those who are maybe economically challenged, and I know you said you deal with the whole spectrum, how do you deal with that activity fee? I mean, is that something that may be waived or, you know, you may handle it in a different way?
Right, absolutely. We have our own school board, and it's one of our school board policies. It addresses that. And so it really goes by their economic status that is also associated with their lunch status. Some people often refer to that as free or reduced lunch status. And so the fees are adjusted accordingly to that.
Oh, okay. All right. Transportation, do you have a bus? Are the transportation students have to get there the best way they can?
Right. We do not provide buses. So our parents drive their students to school. But we do have a lot of parents that also take advantage of public transportation or daycares that provide transportation and that sort of thing. So there really are a lot of options for parents to get their kids there.
Okay, so that's not a deterrent or a problem. Where are you located physically?
We're located out in Southwood Community. We're actually on Schoolhouse Road, so we take up just about an entire city block with all of our facilities and sports complex.
I see. Okay. We're talking with members of Florida High, Florida State University's Demonstration School. This is a program where we are featuring Florida High. They've done a wonderful job and continue to do a wonderful job, and we would like to have people know what's happening. For my listening audience, hold your thoughts. We're going to come back, and we're going to take a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're featuring Florida High Demonstration School at Florida State University. We've been talking about the school, the physical setting. It's out in Southwood. Now, let's look at the student body. What is the student body like? And I know you said it 50-50, but give us a better feel. And we've got students here, so they can talk about the student body. But give us a feel. Tell us about your school. And I can just start with Nicholas and go around.
Our school is very diverse. Okay. There's no, I wouldn't say anybody that forms to like a certain like archetype or stereotype. Mm-hmm. Everybody is very unique at the school. Very close community since we've been with each other since kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You pretty much know everybody there. You're all one big family, and it's very small, but it has, I would say, more pros than cons.
Okay. Well, we'll get to some of those pros.
I agree with Nick. Our student body is extremely diverse. We have different religions. We have so many different races, and no one really conforms to any type of stereotype. I think most of us do a pretty good job at not really pointing out certain stereotypes and kind of just not making them a big deal. And we are really conscious about not putting someone into a certain stereotype or picking on them because of a certain thing about themselves, a certain characteristic. So,
why is that? And I have to stop and ask you that, because that makes you unique. If that is the case, that makes it very unique, because that's not what is happening at other schools. So I'm trying to get a feel for why that happens there. I mean, what is
why
it?
Why does it happen? We just...
I would say that it's because we all come with our own quirks. Okay. And being very close with everybody there, you see quirks in everybody and you see your quirks in yourself. And so you really don't feel pressured into making fun of somebody or being made fun of. It's you're very comfortable there.
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, like Nick said, it's so diverse. Like, when I first came, I was, I don't know, I was, like, really to myself. But then, like, as I started the year, I started meeting more and more people. And it didn't matter who I was or what they were or how they would define themselves. You just come, we all come together, which is a really good thing. And I think it's really neat.
Okay. Now, I haven't heard from you at all. Ashley Myers is the psychology teacher, and she's SGA advisor. Let's talk about SGA first.
Okay. Well, actually, these three students are actually all in SGA, which is how they came in here. We are in a leadership class together. I teach them one period every day, which is something that Dr. Wicker pushed and helped us start at Florida High last year was when she kicked it off. And so we were able to have – this is the second year of the successful leadership class. Okay. And it's just been a really cool opportunity. This year we're actually going through Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and just being able to work with the students on becoming leaders in their school, in their group of friends, in their workplace, that kind of thing, giving them traits and qualities that they're going to be able to use the rest of their lives, instilling those and growing them. And then we also run many events on campus through SGA. You know, everything for homecoming is put on by SGA. And we just got done, or we're working this week to actually finish up their fundraising project where they've been working on different ways to fundraise for the school. So it's just been a really cool opportunity to work with these students and just help them grow.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, since you all are in this leadership class, tell us, share with us the components of a good leader. They can't see you. We're on radio.
Well, first off, my biggest thing is caring about a person and listening to a person, because I started the year before this class thinking that I had it all together and that I just knew this was going to be great and I was going to have everything in the bag, and they just burst my bubble just completely.
In what way?
In what ways is really the question.
Okay.
First off, they were very friendly, very open, just ready to help in any way that they could. And most of the not really most, but some of the students have been in SGA before, so they know more about how to make a plan work well than I do. So it's just it's really good. So I think a leadership cares, a leader listens. A leader helps out, and that's something that SGA really did for me. They helped me a lot because coming in, like I said, I thought I had it together, and then I went into my little safe house, and I didn't really talk as much. So a leader helps, a leader cares.
Okay.
I would say the biggest thing that I look for in a leader is somebody that can teach. I've seen a lot of people that seem to have the charisma or the looks or the style of how you would think of a typical leader, but then when it comes down to it and you work with them more, they can't teach. They can't show you how to do anything. They can't grab people and show them how they got to be where they are. And so to me, the biggest thing that a leader can do is be able to teach others and pass on knowledge.
Okay. Samantha.
My big thing is respect, because I feel like everybody in the class is equal, and then even if they're ahead of a project, they have the respect to listen to others and take in their ideas and maybe even tweak them or implement them. And I think actually our teacher is like a very good example of that, Miss Myers, because I don't know, she respects us all equally, and I think also that the way like she views students is you're gonna act the way that you want to act. So respect's a big thing.
Yeah.
She gives us respect.
What I hear you saying is she demonstrates for you what is necessary. She respects you, so consequently, you know, that
we have to respect her.
Respect. Yeah,
definitely. And I think that another thing is lots of people in higher places I think just because you have a high place or, a you know, that type of thing in any type of organization, mm-hmm. automatically people think that they're leaders, when some of the time that's not the case at all. You can easily be the president of something, or you could easily be the head person, like the head go-to person for a project. Mm-hmm. But if you can't respect someone, then it just doesn't matter if you – It just doesn't matter. I don't know. If you can't implement certain things, then you simply just have a title, in my opinion.
Now, the two of you are graduating seniors.
We are.
Yes.
What do you plan to do with this leadership?
I didn't think I was a leader when I first – I know that's so silly because, like, I applied and, like, I had to go through an application process. But I really didn't consider myself a leader until I came into the class, because we did so many projects and I was like – wow, well, I can really lead people. I can really implement this in my life. So as I go on to college, I can be a part of clubs. I can start different things on campus. So I think I could use everything I've learned in class basically in my life after high school. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I learned that.
What about you, Amaya?
You asked what are my plans after this?
Well, just how this leadership is going to kind of, you know, coincide with your graduating and going on, and what do you see yourself
doing? This class is really good for life, period, mm-hmm. honestly. It's not just leadership role, or it's not just this is what you have for school and this is what you should do to help your peers. It's a life thing, because some of the things that I've learned are things that most people don't even learn in a lifetime, and they end up just – wondering, like, the closer they get to death, as grim as that sounds, why certain things didn't work out or why something didn't go the way that they thought it should have gone. So this is going to help me network. This is going to help me apply for jobs, get jobs. This is going to help me expand my horizons on so many different levels about so many different things in life. It's just it honestly should be a life skills type of course, mm-hmm. because that's what it pretty much covers, everything that you should know before you go into the real world.
I see. Well, thank you for sharing that information. Both of you are graduating seniors. Do you have your plans set yet? What are you planning on doing?
I'm going to go to Southeastern University. I thought about it for a long time, and I thought I was just going to stay in town like everybody else does. And the thing is, Southeastern is a lot of money. It's a great college, but it costs a lot of money to go there. But the thing is, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've just been applying for scholarships like crazy. I've been trying to get money to go. And if worse comes to worse, I'll just take out student loans, but I'm just chasing the dream, I guess,
good,
and that's
good.
All I have planned.
We applaud you.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
I was accepted to Florida State, February, January? Yeah, something like that. But I plan on attending Florida State, and I like to major in international affairs and minor in Spanish, or double major in Spanish with business, but, you know, whichever goes through. Scholarships, like Samantha said, that's pretty much like your life right now. I started applying for scholarships maybe December, November. I don't even know, maybe earlier than that.
Yeah.
And you just don't stop. FSU offered me an opportunity for the Service Scholar Program, and I've applied. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. I believe March is when I should know whether I got in or not. I'm really hoping to do that. So once I graduate, I may even get a master's in international affairs, and I want to join the United States Foreign Service and just continue on with the leadership, helping out people.
Fantastic. Now, Nicholas, you've been there a while.
Yes.
Can you share with us about the class size? I mean, because you said it's a real family kind of oriented. You all feel real close to each other. What's the size of the classes?
Our graduating class tends to vary. It's a little over about 100 kids. Mm-hmm. But each individual class, that also varies. Typical class size is between about 20 to 25 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest as they get is about 25. So it's really nice that they're not tremendously huge, but there's enough people in it to where, you know, you get to know everybody.
Yeah, that sounds good. Are you involved in any extracurricular activities?
Yes, I'm really big in the music. I play the saxophone, and so I'm a big member of our band program, and then I do a lot of music outside of the school, like getting into the all-district honors band and taking private lessons.
Wow. Oh, congrats. That's super. That's great. The two of you came to Florida High in the last 4, 5, 6 years. Can you compare it to the regular, I guess, traditional public schools or where you came from? What's the difference? What's the appeal?
I just think the class size is one because in, like, other high schools, you're a small fish in a really, really big pond. All the schools in Leon County are really huge. And this one, I feel like you get more one-on-one with teachers. Mm-hmm. And I think they get a chance to really care about you and you to care about them. So I think, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Of course, like you said, class size, size of the school, period. Also, I think cliques and who your friends are is different with a smaller school versus
in
a larger traditional school. Traditional schools, since the class sizes are so big, I think you have a harder time finding friends, which is one thing. I've known a few of my friends who transferred over to another school in Leon County, and they've pretty much stuck with one another since they knew one another before that.
I think we're all friends with everybody,
yeah,
which is the cool thing.
Like, how much do you interact outside of school?
We interact
with classmates.
We usually will, even like the senior class, we all plan stuff to like get out and go see each other. Mm-hmm. And we'll always, if we see each other like going to the mall or anything, we'll always be courteous and say hi or even hang out. So I think it's
pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, we are showcasing Florida High. It is the lab school, developmental school of Florida State University. I have three students here who are sharing their experiences. I have a teacher and I have the director. And again, I want to say thank you all for participating. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. Today's Ephesus question is, as you walk away from the counter after paying for an item that you purchased, you realize the clerk gave you way too much change. Instead of a $10 bill, they handed you a $100 bill. What do you do?
I turn around. I work at a grocery store, and someone's gypped me out of a good $100 before, and I know feeling of...
Okay.
Counting down your till at the end of the day, and hey, you're missing about $100. So, no, turn around, give them the money. And besides, it's the right thing to do. And I mean, karma, it'll come back.
Okay. All right.
The right thing to do is to turn around and give them back the $100. And I don't really see how you can just walk away with $100 from somebody when it was their mistake. And I've worked games before, like Amaya, and people always come back and give you extra change that you might have given them.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. What about you, Samantha? Because, you know, when I posed this question to some other students, their thing was too bad. You know, they gave us the money and we could use it, so we're keeping it. So it's nice to hear this.
I just couldn't imagine that anybody would, not give it back because that's a lot of money. And personally, I really value money because I have so many trips this year. I have so many of, expenses. So I definitely would give it back because I wouldn't want the same thing to happen to me.
Do you think there are any circumstances under which it would be okay to keep the money? And if so, what would those circumstances be?
Well, I've never been in a situation in which I would need money because, I mean, I'm still at home and my parents do provide for me, which I'm very thankful for. But sometimes, you know, throughout history, we see that when people get desperate, desperate times call for desperate measures. So speaking on my behalf, I don't really have anything to say because I'm not experiencing that. But for other people, there may be some situations.
And I'm not just speaking on your behalf. I'm just saying, do you see any circumstances under which you can understand and that people keep the money. Nicholas.
I don't really see one. I think like the biggest one that would make somebody want to keep the money would be if they're desperate for it or if the cashier was just being really, really mean to them.
That's a point. That's all
right. Even then, I would think that even if they're being mean, maybe they're just having a bad day. And if you take that money, their day is going to be even worse.
What happens when your till comes up short?
Within my first, I want to say about the first 2 months I worked at the grocery store that I work at, they told me, of course, I was short by, if it's more than a few cents or maybe even more than a few dollars, you get written up. And I believe after 2 or 3 times being written up, something really major happens, which is most likely being fired. Yeah, you get written up. And that's never a good feeling, to be written up at your own job.
Okay. Samantha, can you think of any circumstances under which keeping this money?
That's a really hard question. I really don't know. Maybe if somebody was just having a really bad life, like experiences, maybe. I don't know. I guess me personally, like, I haven't really been in any money situations that would be considered, like, huge. So I can even fathom taking it. But I don't know. Some people might take it if they're really down and out. I don't know. Morally, you shouldn't. But they might justify it in their mind. And we might see it as okay if we knew their situation. But, like, I have no idea.
You look like you're thinking.
Yeah. When you said morally, I think, you know, some people have different morals than you do. So logically, if they're needing it, then it won't matter.
They'll take it.
Yeah, the person who took the money from me, she just did it really smooth and kind of just walked away. So
sitting here, it's a lot easier to say that you wouldn't do it, but it all comes down to it's a lot different when it actually happens.
The circumstances, yeah. That's right. Well, that's it for this edition of the Ethicist Corner, and I thank you for your opinions. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. This hour, we are showcasing Florida High, the school, Developmental School of Florida State University. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome again 3 students at Florida High, Nicholas Leon, Samantha Davis, Amaya Mann. Also, I have Dr. Wicker, who is the director, and Ashley Myers, who is a psychology teacher and SGA advisor. I'd like to look at curriculum, okay? And you share with us what your curriculum involves.
Sure. Elementary school, of course, since we're a state school, public school, we follow all of the standards that Florida schools follow. So any other assignments, tests, curriculum that you would find, we use the Florida standards, okay. Of course. I think one of the things that's so unique about it, and Ashley may be able to speak to this too, because we're all on the same campus, our middle school and high school is very melded together. So a lot of emphasis is being placed on acceleration. And so because we're sitting there, the teachers are often teaching the same students, middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. So we're very privileged that our middle school kids get to take accelerated courses. We have a large number of kids that actually take high school credit courses in middle school. And as small as we are, we're still able to provide a large number of AP classes, which our students are you know, great to do. We have dual enrollment as well. So
that was my next question.
We do. We have kids that take classes. We offer a few there, and then some of them go over to TCC. So Ashley may be able to add some more about some of the high school curriculum as well.
Yes, I teach AP psychology as well as general psychology and the leadership class. And I think one of, like Dr. Wicker said, one of the best things about Florida High is the amazing staff and the amazing teachers that we have at our school. Like the students said, every teacher is there not only because they are passionate about their subject matter, but because they love students and they want to do everything they can to help students grow. And because of that, they're so good in their fields. We do have a lot of AP courses, which are offered. Right now, I have 56 students in my AP psychology course, so I teach three sections of it, and it's great. My students work very hard all year long, and at the end of the year, they'll be able to take the national test for psychology, and if they pass with a three or higher, then they get college credit for the course. So it's the same with the other AP courses that are offered at our school, and it's just a great opportunity for any student to get free college.
Now, you students here, how would, of course, just act like they aren't there. How would you assess the teachers that you've had to this point?
I really like my teachers, honestly. Starting at about ninth grade, I started to have a ranking of all of my favorite teachers, and that has changed every single year once I've graduated. Since, I think, sixth or seventh grade when I first started, that's when I had my first teacher, and it just continuously changes. So pretty much all, actually, all of the teachers do their very best at making sure that you have what you need to pass their class, and that if possible or if at all, they can help you outside of the classroom if you're struggling at all in their class and they wonder, are you getting enough sleep or, you know, just anything. Every now and then you'll have a teacher that helps you outside of the classroom just to make sure that you can get to the next grade and you know, that you're okay pretty much. So they really care. That's definitely a true fact.
It is. I absolutely love all the teachers there.
That's great.
I've yet to come across one teacher that doesn't care about the students and does everything possible to help the student. Every teacher there is fantastic. Every teacher there is unique. I've been taking high school classes since seventh grade, so I haven't spent much time with the middle school teachers, but I do know some of my elementary teachers moved up to middle school, and so I still had a few of them there while in middle school, and it's kind of nice that way, that the transition isn't very hard going to completely new teachers that you don't know. And the teachers spend most of their time going around to all three different sections, I would guess, like high school, middle school, elementary. So you know most of the teachers growing up there and going into class. And I would say that's probably one of the biggest benefits at the school.
Okay.
I love all my teachers.
That's
They're
great.
They're so great. I think they really do care a lot, and they give you so many opportunities. Like, they want you to succeed. I think that's the biggest thing. They want to see you succeed basically at life. So all my teachers are awesome. I just love them.
I applaud you all. You're doing something right. I mean, people can't see you, your faces, but they light up, and they're happy, and they just obviously are very genuine with their feelings.
You know, one of the most important things that we do as administrators at Florida High is hire great teachers. And I will tell anybody that on any given day. We spend a lot of time, put a lot of energy and effort into interviewing people, screening people, getting the right fit, because it really is such a unique environment, you know, that I think it's a culture that's been created. And that people need to understand, you know, the tremendous responsibility they have to come there. So it's great to hear straight from the students, you know, too.
Now, you all have a new principal, I understand, Dr. Epps, right?
We do. We do. This is first year coming to us from Orlando, where he was a principal there for a number of years. And you know, again, when you're new coming in, it takes a little while to get your legs and get acclimated. And I think this year for him has been great in that respect, you know, trying to find his way and learn personalities and get to know the students. And I would say that, if anything, that's been something he's spent a lot of time on is being out there, mingling among the students and getting to know them and what sports they play or what interests they have.
Now, do potential students have the option to come in and maybe shadow, or how does that work? Let's say I'm interested. I'm not sure, but I'd like to come visit the school. What's the process?
Well, we allow, I don't know how much Ashley's aware of that. She may have had some, okay, some kids before, but we've recently just really organized some tours. And so we're going to start offering probably a couple of dates a month, and we'll publish those, where if the parents are interested, want to bring their student over, mm-hmm, and get a tour of the school. We don't do too much of the shadowing, just simply, okay, because it's kind of some liability issues, mm-hmm, there, you know, mm-hmm, too. But definitely if they'd love to come over at a certain time and see the campus, be on a guided tour and ask some questions, find out about what courses we offer and that sort of thing, we very much encourage that.
Okay. Now, I'm a potential student. I'm interested in attending Florida High. What kinds of things would you tell me, Nicholas?
Tell you about the school?
About the school. I'm not sure, you know. I mean, I think I want to go, but I don't know. And I'm asking you to kind of just give me the scoop.
Depending on where you're from, if you're coming from a bigger high school or a bigger middle school, mm-hmm, it's going to be really different. Seeing how fewer kids there are there. Since we're a smaller school, I know going over to other schools, I'm kind of shocked at the class sizes that they have there. So I would say that you're going to be closer with everybody, and you're not going to have any problems fitting in with a group, because everybody fits in with their own groups. Mm-hmm. There's no set groups, like the jocks don't hang out with just the jocks, or the nerds only hang out with the nerds. Mm-hmm. Everybody's together in it. And so I would say that you're not going to have a problem fitting in anywhere you go.
Okay. What kind of things would you say, Amaya?
What would I say? I would probably start by saying I love it. Honestly, excuse me, someone has actually asked me, mm-hmm, how I feel about being here at Florida High, and they've been a little skeptical. You could see it on their face, and,
mm-hmm,
I'm just like,
exactly,
it's actually a really good school. I don't know what you've heard, but I really love it. Transitioning from elementary school here to middle school, and even from middle school to high school, which is where we end up losing a few students because, of course, they want to go on to different schools for, mm-hmm, whatever reasons. It's a transition, but it's a smooth transition, and it's all around great. Just sports and teachers, even athletic coaches, they're all pretty great. They're all friendly, and everyone just jokes around a little bit. Not saying that we aren't serious, because, of course, education is a serious thing, but it's a great atmosphere to be in, I think, is one thing that I would definitely tell someone.
Okay.
Well, since I've kind of been in that situation, like, I know what, mm-hmm, it is like to transfer. I would tell them that the teachers are great, they're funny, they really care, you'll learn so much. I would tell them that the class size is small, so you'll get to know basically everybody in your class, and you'll get more one-on-one time with your teachers. And I would also tell them that everybody just likes each other, and there's not a lot of drama at Florida High. Like,
great.
There's not a lot of, like, fighting. There's never fighting. I haven't seen a fight there, and at my middle school there were a ton of fights. So that's a plus. And then there's just no, like, everybody likes each other. I don't think anybody really hates each other, so that's a, yeah, good thing. Everybody's friendly.
I think even if you end up not liking someone because you're forced to see them so much, like, it, why? Like, why don't you like someone? And people end up putting those differences aside because it's kind of just stupid,
it doesn't
honestly.
Make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about parental involvement?
Well, we have really quite a bit, considering that a good number of our parents, about 30% of our families, aren't in Leon County. Mm-hmm. We have families from Gadsden. I think you all mentioned Madison, some other surrounding counties, Wakulla County. So even though they may not live close by, they come to the reading nights. They come and they're involved in our parent-teacher-student association. Mm-hmm. And I've just recently started a coffee chat with parents, and we're having another one next week. Just to give parents that we invite to come in and sit down and talk with me and get to know me and me get to know them and ask any questions. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of athletics going on. There's parents all over the place in the evenings attending student games. And it's just really a family-friendly environment.
And that's what it sounds like. That's what I feel, you know, here at the mm-hmm. table just talking to you. Just kind of family, mm-hmm. really, really close, genuine, liking mm-hmm. each other and enjoying each other.
Right. You know, these great students here talking about what they're going to do with their leadership skills and all mm-hmm. of that, I did want to mention, too, that we really tried to offer some programs for kids that maybe some schools might not have, and just wanted to plug those real quickly.
Okay.
We have a culinary arts program, and those students take a certification test at the end for that that gives them a culinary
really?
Arts certification. We recently, just 2 or 3 years ago, added a certified nursing assistant program and a first responder program, and goodness, we've got kids that are graduating and going straight to jobs at TMH and other places. So those are just some unusual, I think, unique programs that we have that are pretty new to our school that I think our listeners might want to know about.
That's fantastic. What is, share with us in these last few minutes, what's your formula for success?
Well, I came there 6 years ago, and I can tell you that the formula is really the people. The formula mm-hmm. is definitely the people. State requirements, educational requirements, test requirements come and go. But the people that are there, the teachers that care, as these students have said, it creates a culture that when new kids come or new employees come, they see that there's a family environment there and they want to be a part of something like that. It's about building relationships. And when you do that, people know that you want to add value to them. They want to do the same thing in return. So when you build that environment where everybody's concerned about the other person, it can't help but create this kind of a culture that people want to come to.
Y'all need to process that, can and sell, because I think that's what's needed in many places. And these last few minutes, anything that you would like to share from the student perspective?
From the student perspective, if you're going there to get a good education, you found the right place, if mm-hmm. you're going there to make friends that you're going to have for the rest of your life, that you couldn't find a better place. You really couldn't.
Okay.
I think it'll really prepare you for your next journey. I feel like Florida High has so many good programs there that you're just prepared for whatever comes next, which I think is a really good thing. I think that's really important in school because I don't think other high schools really prepare you or make you think, what's life going to be like beyond this? And I think Florida High does a good job in that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Preparation is the biggest thing. I know a few other students who've been to other schools in Leon County, and once they reach college, they either fall okay. behind or they struggle in those first few semesters trying to catch up.
Okay, well, thank you. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. A special thanks to Florida High School community. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.